Please be seated. I learned some important things this week about bluegrass music. And the most important thing, and the thing I'd like to share with you this evening, is that bluegrass music, and especially the bluegrass mass that we are hearing this evening, reminds us of the homespun truth that God is crazy about us. He's crazy about me, and he's crazy about all of you. I could sit down right there. We are beloved of God, and the world and all that is in it is beloved of God. God is the creator, the friend, and the lover, who is head over heels with what she has made. She just can't get enough of us. And yes, I said she, and I hope you will indulge me as I use the female pronoun for the rest of this reflection. I get a bit of permission for that from the lyrics. The lyrics at the conclusion of the Mass express this beautifully. They say that God loved the world so dear, she set aside her crown and clothed herself in human shape. They say that she came down and dwelt a while among us here. She came on down. But you know, for some reason, and I'm not really sure what it is, we don't think this way about God very often, or perhaps I don't. It's not at the forefront of my mind that God is just so crazy about me and you that she can't get enough of us. Or if it is in my mind, I take it for granted. But I think it's very good for us and for our relationship with God to stop and really contemplate these feelings and what they mean for our relationship. And it's not that hard to do if we try. It's not that hard to do because we know these sets of feelings. I want you to think about someone in your life who is beloved. Someone you just can't get enough of. Maybe it's your partner. I hope it's your partner. It may be a best friend. If you're a parent, it is your child, your children, or your grandchild, your grandchildren. And it's not just human beloveds. I have a faithful dog who is the sweetest thing in the whole wide world. And have a friend who talks about her adorable cat, and she just says, "Oh, he's so cute." And he is, to her. And then there's I think her cat's a bit dangerous, but actually, he doesn't like me. But that was a bit of a Freudian slip. Anyway, the point is, he's beloved to my friend. And there are times when we look at them and we just kind of say, "Aw, he's so cute, she's so cute." And we feel our hearts overflowing with love and delight. We feel it just springing up and overflowing the boundaries of our heart. And it's not just animate living creatures either. We can have that feeling when we're 50,000 feet up. I hope I have my numbers right. But we look out the airplane window and we see the Great Lakes below us. We see the whole thing and we think, "Wow." Or at this time of year, with spring just unfolding all around us and the sounds of the birds in the morning and that little bit of green netting that's just coming over the trees and the bushes now, and we think, "Wow, I love that." I got a little glance coming in of our music director, Dan Norman, who is holding his little girl in his arms. And I thought, aww. And she was looking at her dad, and she was looking like, aww. These are all feelings about people and animals and the world. And the feeling is we love it and we just can't get enough of it. And these are the same set of feelings that I believe that the Creator has for us and the whole created world. And that might be a bit anthropomorphic. If it is, well, I stand by it. But I also know this to be true from Scripture. And our first reading in particular, that wonderful reading from Proverbs, it expresses this all so well. So the figure of wisdom is described in that reading from Proverbs, and she is understood as the co-creator of the world, someone who's intimately connected in fashioning the world, an exercise that one could only describe as a labor of love. And she's someone who's very happy with what she and the Lord have created, for the writer of Proverbs says that wisdom rejoices in the inhabited world and delights in the human race. And isn't that marvelous to our ears? And there's one more marvelous aspect to this reading, at least one more, and that is that loving, intimate relationship between the Lord and this figure of wisdom. It's understood by both the Jewish and Christian traditions, wisdom, as God's active spirit in the world. And she tells us with pride that she was a crucial part of the process, and she participated throughout. She was there when the sea was assigned its limit, and the foundations of the earth were marked out, and she was constantly beside the Lord and daily his delight. As Christians, we understand this passage as descriptive of the relationality of God. And I believe that the Jews do as well, not in quite the same way. And we read into it with our Christian eyes, we look at this passage and we say, oh, there's the foreshadowing or there's a hint of the Holy Trinity. But in any event, whichever way we understand it, in this passage, what is so evident is God's love for, God's delight in, all that has been created. It was Stephen Reynolds who first taught me, or at least framed it in this way, that this world exists because the love that God felt, just couldn't be contained. It was just flowing out like a fountain. God had to do something with this love, so God harnessed it and made a world. God yearned for something to be in connection with, to have a relationship with, and that's why we are here. It got expressed in the incarnation as well. She came on down. She came on down. So this love that God has for us, I believe that's the basis for our love for God. The yearning that God has to be in relationship with us is our yearning to then respond and be in relationship with God. And it is also the basis for our desire to go home, as we say. And bluegrass has a lot to say about the yearning for an eternal home, that place of deep belonging where we will go and abide with God in a heavenly place. Now, I don't know if bluegrass says anything about my last point, but I am so fond of saying to people, why are you waiting to die to go to heaven? Why are you waiting to die to have that sense of deep union and friendship with God? You can have it right now. That yearning for something that we call heaven, that yearning to be with God in glory, that yearning for that relationship between beloved and lover is ours for the asking right now, tonight. Amen.